Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. What's going on, Packers fans? We've got a big one today, Green Bay and San Francisco. And despite some injuries for both sides, I am still pretty hyped up for this one. But of course, it's not the only thing I'm hyped up for. However, I'm also hyped up for another week of Prize Picks. And of course, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 off instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here are my picks for today's game. We're going all in on this one. All right, so number one, here it is. I'm going to say it. I have full belief in it. I have full conviction in it. Jordan Love, fewer than one half interceptions. That's right. That means Jordan Love, zero interceptions in this game. That's what I'm going with. It has to happen eventually, right? Like one of these games is finally going to be the game where he does not throw an interception. This is going to be the one. I feel it. I feel it in my gut, and I'm going with it. Jordan Love, fewer than one half interception. And again, that would mean that he gets zero, and that is what I'm banking on in this game. Number two, Josh Jacobs, more than 16 and a half receiving yards. Now, to me, what we saw out of Josh Jacobs this past week is what we're going to see more of and what's going to be the standard within this offense. I think the Packers are going to get Josh Jacobs more and more involved in the passing game. I think teams are going to continue to try to limit some of the big plays down the field for Green Bay, especially with big-time playmakers like Jaden Reed and Christian Watson. So I think the checkdowns and just the involvement of Josh Jacobs in the passing game is, you know, going to continue to grow. And for that reason, I'm going more than 16 and a half receiving yards for Josh Jacobs. Also, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with number one, right? The more Jordan is careful with the football, the more he's going to take some of those checkdowns and not try to force as many things down the field. So I think that's going to create more opportunities for Josh Jacobs as well. Number three, I'm going Christian McCaffrey more than 16 and a half yards on his longest rush of the day. This is probably the one I feel most confident about, if I'm being honest. Now, Green Bay's run defense actually hasn't been awful by any means, but we know San Francisco is going to come out running the football. No Brock Purdy in this one. Christian McCaffrey is going to be the focal point of this entire offense. And for that reason, you got to figure he breaks one of them to some extent, right? Like whether that's a 20, 30, 40, 50 yarder, who knows, but is it going to be at least 17 yards? I feel very confident in that. So Christian McCaffrey, more than 16 and a half yards on his longest rush of the day. And then last but not least, Deebo Samuel, more than 2.5 receptions. Feel good about this one as well. I do think Green Bay is going to be winning in this game for a huge chunk of it, in large part due to Brandon Allen and all the injuries on the 49ers offense and defense for that matter. And if the 49ers are behind, the more likely it is that they're going to have to throw the ball, and they're going to try to get the ball to probably Deebo Samuel and George Kittle in this game. McCaffrey a little bit as well, but Samuel has to be a focal point as a receiving option in this game. I also think they'll manufacture some touches for Deebo Samuel in the receiving game. So I expect that to be utilized with no Brock Purdy out there. So just to recap, Jordan Love, zero interceptions, fewer than 1.5 in for the Prize Picks pick here. Josh Jacobs, more than 16 and a half receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, more than 16 and a half yards on his longest rush. And Deebo Samuel, more than 2.5 receptions. And as always, there are a ton of amazing options out there for this game and all the other games. So there's no reason not to get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what are we waiting for? Get in the action. Prize Picks, run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
Hello, Packers fans. Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new game day edition, preview edition, pre-game edition of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. You're the absolute best for being here. I'm pretty geeked up about this game. Packers, 49ers. I know all the injury stuff. And yes, since we talked last, just a few things have happened from an update standpoint, primarily on the San Francisco 49ers side. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's start with the Packers side of things. When the injury report came out, we already knew, right, that Jaire Alexander and Adrian Cooper were going to be out. We heard that. Well, basically, we got the report from Matt Schneidman that Jaire wasn't going to be back anytime soon. And then we got the word from Matt LaFleur on Friday that Adrian Cooper was going to be out in this game. The only thing we really gleaned from the injury report at all is that Colby Wooden is going to be questionable for this game. No other updates as of Saturday. So all we know really going into this one, the only question mark from an injury standpoint is whether or not Colby Wooden will be able to go. From a 49ers standpoint, however, some massive updates that happened at the end of day on Friday. Remember, I recorded Saturday's episode just a little bit before that news came out, unfortunately, but I said we'd cover it all here today. I mean, we really don't probably even need to cover it all that much. Two massive injuries that are going to be affecting the 49ers in a huge way. And clearly it starts with their starting quarterback, right? When you've got Brock Purdy out of this game and you have to go to Brandon Allen, that's a big step back. And we'll talk about why it's not, you know, just easy to take this game for granted or anything like that. Like, you're going to have to go out and still win this game. But the difference between, in my opinion, a very good quarterback in Brock Purdy and a journeyman backup in Brandon Allen is significant in this one. And then just right up there on the defensive side of the ball, if the sort of MVP of the offense is Brock Purdy, the guy that makes it all go, on defense, it's Nick Bosa. They lose their biggest defensive impact player. The difference between Bosa on the field and off the field from a pass rush standpoint, from a DVOA standpoint, from all of it is just, it's like almost not, you know, no ability to overcome it. Right. And those are two of like the biggest injuries you could possibly have in this game for the 49ers. So both of them will be out. That was reported late on Friday, a little bit later on Friday, I should say. And again, it's going to have a massive impact on this game. Those are not the only injuries. Tatum Bethune, out. Jacob Cowing, out. Kevin Givens, out. Treverius Ward, out. And then questionable is John Feliciano and Trent Williams. Now, a couple updates there. John Feliciano, if you remember, he's questionable, journeyman offensive lineman, depth piece for San Fran, but he's actually on injured reserve. So in order for him to play, they would have had to have activated him and put him on the active roster. They did not do that. So while he was questionable, he cannot play in this game because they did not activate him. As far as Trent Williams goes, Adam Schefter did report at the very early hour, I think it was either late on Saturday or very early on Sunday, that the 49ers are optimistic that Trent Williams will be able to play. He will test his ankle pregame and see how it feels, and we'll see if he can go from there. But they do, it sounds like, have some level of optimism, and understandably so. We've talked about this all week of how Trent Williams usually does a little Houdini act and all this stuff that he gets injured throughout the course of the week. He finds a way to play through it, and then when he plays through it, he still looks absolutely dominant. So we'll see. It sounds like they're again, optimistic that Trent's going to go. My expectation is that Trent will go because he's done this so many times in the past, but that will be probably from an inactive standpoint, the biggest name to keep an eye on. Really the one big question remaining for either side. Colby Wooden is a small question for Green Bay, but Trent Williams is a massive question for San Francisco. Now, from a transaction standpoint on Saturday, Green Bay made no roster moves. They didn't add a player to the 53-man roster. Remember, they have a spot open, and they did not elevate anyone from the practice squad to the active roster either. So they are going with their roster as is. The 49ers, again, they did not activate John Feliciano. They put Tatum Bethune on injured reserve. They put Tayshaun Gibson, the longtime NFL safety, on their 53-man roster. And then they elevated Jalen Graham, a linebacker, and Nick McCloud, a corner. Now, I mentioned the Trent Williams news. So this is, you know, clearly they think he's going to play. But if you were looking for, they didn't activate an offensive lineman, so clearly, you know, Trent's going to play. It's not quite that simple. They do have 9 offensive linemen on their active roster. If Trent can't go, they would still have 8. And usually most teams only go with 8 offensive linemen active on game day. So they can still deactivate Trent Williams and still have their 8. If they would have only had 8 on the roster and Trent Williams is one of them, then I would have said, yeah, he's playing because they're not going to just go with 7 offensive linemen into a game. But it's not a tell based on the fact that they didn't call up anyone to the active roster on the offensive line. So that's still going to be the big question mark going into Sunday. But I'll say one more time, Adam Schefter reports that the 49ers are optimistic about that. As far as the inactives go, from a Packers standpoint, this should be one of the more straightforward inactive reports for the Packers that we have seen. There's really only one question mark. So Jaire Alexander and Edgerrin Cooper are both going to be out. Those will be two of the inactives. And I should note as well, Green Bay only has a 52-man roster right now, so they only need to deactivate four players. And again, Jaire and Cooper, we know, are locks to be deactivated. Travis Glover is pretty much a lock. He's deactivated every week. He's a red shirt. They don't need the extra offensive lineman. That one's easy. And then the other one comes down to one of two players, in my opinion. Ketan Oladapo, who also is basically in a red shirt season and almost is always deactivated, or Colby Wooden. If Colby Wooden can't play, then I would expect Ketan Oladapo to be up. Maybe they can utilize him on special teams a little bit. Maybe you could even do a little bit of nickel linebacker stuff because they only have four linebackers active on the roster. And then, if it is, Colby Wooden can't go, then he's an easy deactivate, right? Then it's probably just Travis Glover as the only active player, only healthy player that would be inactive for this game. Speaking of that linebacker position really quick, they did not elevate a linebacker for this game. I thought Jamin Davis, there'd be a decent chance that he would either get added to the 53 or elevated from the practice squad just to give them an extra body. And quite frankly, just somebody who can sort of mirror some of the movements and athletic ability that Edgerrin Cooper has. You know, we've seen them like to bring some of those blitzes and do some things with the athleticism of Edgerrin Cooper. Now, Jamin Davis might not quite be in that Edgerrin Cooper category because Cooper's a freak, but Jamin Davis is pretty freaky himself. He's a great athlete. So I kind of thought that'd be an apples to apples kind of change out. I'm not saying they would have needed to play him, but it would have given them another option. But that leaves only four active linebackers for this game. Now, you have Eric Wilson, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie. Those three are probably going to play all the snaps at linebacker, right? But if there's any injury, anything, Tyron Hopper is the next guy up. And maybe, just maybe, maybe we see a little bit of Tyron Hopper. I doubt it, quite frankly, just based on what we've kind of heard this week. But we'll see. We'll see. He's the fourth guy. So it's not impossible. You wouldn't think that he could maybe get some playing time, but I would still expect it to be on special teams. And like I said, maybe there's a small package for Tyron Hopper in this one, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. All right, that brings us to our Luigi's Pizza player of the game, who we're going to be watching for in this one. For me, I'm watching Carrington Valentine. And there's a multitude of reasons for this. Number one, yes, the 49ers have Brandon Allen in, right? Like, he's their backup quarterback. But they still have three very talented wide receivers in Deebo Samuel, in Juwan Jennings, and then in their rookie first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall. Not to mention George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey, right? They have weapons. And those weapons are going to do everything they can to get open to give Brandon Allen easy reads and easy decisions. To me, I want to see Carrington Valentine, who took over for Eric Stokes last week. He's probably going to be the starter again. I want to see him own that position. Who's ever he's matched up against, whether it be Pearsall or Jennings, probably a lot of those two. I want to see him hold his own. I want to see him have a big game, you know, contain those players. But also, if Jaire is out for maybe even the season or whatever it ends up being, right? They're going to need Carrington Valentine to step up in a significant way. Like, this just can't be potential. This just can't be like, oh, he's playing okay. Like, he needs to step up and be a good, legitimate starter. And they're going against a backup. Carrington Valentine has a ability to, you know, jump a route here and there. Maybe he can get his hands on a football, but I'm going to be watching for Carrington Valentine, not only in this game, because I think he's going to be really important with some of those matchups, but also to see, can he replace Jaire Alexander? Can he be the guy? Can he be somebody that steps up in the absence of a player? You're going to need some of that with the injuries that Green Bay has. Carrington Valentine would go a long way in starting to cover for some of the issues that you have right now because Jaire Alexander is injured. So my Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game is Carrington Valentine. All right, now let's get to our keys to the game. Number one, all right, my number one key to this game, do not overlook these San Francisco 49ers. Period, end of story. All right, go back to 2018, right? 2018, some of you may remember this game. CJ Beathard and the 49ers came into Lambeau. Now, the Packers won that game 33-30 after an epic final drive and a comeback. The 49ers were up 30-23 in the fourth quarter in that game. Packers put a touchdown drive together. Then at the end, Rodgers puts an awesome drive together to go get the game-winning field goal. But that was right out, you know, down until the wire, and you were not expecting the CJ Beathard team to come in and give Green Bay a run for their money, yet here they were. And again, basically the 49ers had that lead in the fourth quarter. And that was, you're going in, you're like, oh, backup quarterback, and Packers are going to take care of business. It was not that at all. Now, Green Bay won, but it was a tight one down until the end. 2010, Troy Smith, 49ers backup quarterback, big underdogs in that game. It was a one-point game at halftime. Now, the Packers pulled away in that one, 34-16, but it was a five-point game with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. So again, don't take these for granted. Don't take the 49ers for granted. They've been a thorn in your side. Oh, how about the 2019 NFC Championship game? Now, no backup quarterback in this one, right? But Jimmy Garoppolo threw eight times, six completions on eight attempts for 77 yards. And the 49ers still put up 37 points in that game because Green Bay couldn't stop the running game. Kyle Shanahan will have a plan. This offense is still chock full of talent. George Kittle is going to play in this one. Christian McCaffrey is going to play. They've got all those great receivers we talked about earlier. They have Kyle Juszczyk at fullback. They have all the weapons that Kyle Shanahan needs. And like, it's not that different, quite frankly, than the Bears last week, right? Now, Caleb Williams is a much more talented quarterback than Brandon Allen. But Caleb Williams as a rookie year one, just sort of starting to figure things out. I'm not saying he's like a backup caliber quarterback or anything like that, but this is a young and experienced quarterback that, you know, is not anywhere near the peak of his powers or what he's going to be eventually or down the line. And the Packers allowed, with all those Bears weapons, to the, you know, Caleb Williams, the rookie, to kind of take them down the field every single time. If Caleb Williams and that Bears offense can do it, I guarantee you that there's going to be an ability for Brandon Allen and this 49ers offense to do it. If Brandon Allen can just play anywhere near what Caleb Williams did a week ago, they're going to put up points in this game. So do not take the 49ers for granted. And number two on my list, don't take Brandon Allen for granted. 29 of 37, 371 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions on the road in a win against Houston in 2020. That was a Brandon Allen stat line. 29 of 37, 371, two touchdowns. Now, just about every single one of his other starts or playing time opportunities has not gone well at all. Very poor completion percentage, interceptions, all of it. He's been a journeyman for a reason. But he has shown the ability to go on the road in Houston 2020, 29 of 37, 371 yards, two touchdowns. He can put up a big game. And again, they're going to have some mismatches for the 49ers in the secondary where their wide receivers, I think, can win against Green Bay secondary. Green Bay's pass rush is non-existent right now. So this is going to be an issue if Green Bay can't get home and they can't cover. I don't care who's at quarterback. So again, just because Brandon Allen's out there and you think you got the advantage, which you do, you have to go out and still earn it. You have to still go take it. And if you don't, Brandon Allen will pull like we talked about yesterday, Jason Garrett, when the Cowboys were the Packers' biggest thorn in their side and Green Bay couldn't get over the hump. Jason Garrett on Thanksgiving, you finally feel like you're going to get over it. And then Jason Garrett and the Cowboys still beat Green Bay. So sometimes teams have your number. San Francisco is still going to have confidence in this one. Do not overlook them. Do not overlook Brandon Allen. Number three, this one doesn't need to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway. You have to sort of find a way to contain Christian McCaffrey. Now, that is easier said than done. You're probably not going to do it. He's a super talented player, but you've got to find a way to contain him. This cannot be that championship game, going back to 2019. If you allow Christian McCaffrey in this running game to get going, Jordan Mason's right there too. He's a fantastic runner. Kyle Shanahan's shown he doesn't feel like he has to throw the ball a ton. He'll just run it right down your throat. And there were some pitch plays last week from Chicago that worked really well that I see San Francisco very much trying to emulate in this one. So Green Bay's going to have to be ready, and they're going to have to find a way to not stop Christian McCaffrey. He's going to get his, but contain him as best as possible because you don't want this game going just through the run game for San Fran. You got to be strong with no Edgerrin Cooper, right? No Jaire Alexander. There's going to be some holes on this defense that doesn't necessarily relate to run defense, at least especially with Jaire Alexander, but still got to find a way to contain him to the best of your ability. Hey everyone, with the holidays creeping up faster than your great aunt's fruitcake recipe, I've got something way better to share with you. If you want to look sharp for all those festive gatherings and maybe finally win that best groomed at the family dinner award, check out the latest masterpiece from Manscaped, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver. Trust me, it's like Rudolph for your face, guiding you to a smooth, irritation-free shave. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, you may have recently seen Mustache Andy lately. It was a beautiful sight to behold, and that wouldn't have been possible without the Chairman Pro's Flex Adjust technology, which is basically like the holiday miracle of shaving. And when I needed even more precision to get that mustache look just right, there was the Precision Lock. And when you lock it in, the blade head sits firm so you can achieve a more precise shave, and that's exactly what I did. So get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. What are you waiting for? I know right now is a tough time for everyone. Grocery and gas prices are soaring, and with the holidays coming up, we could all use a little bit more disposable income. And when you've got less than stellar credit, your options can be limited. But I've got some great news for you. Kickoff can simplify credit building with plans that are the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit, making what feels impossible possible. And best of all, no credit check is required. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Now, I discovered Kickoff online and it helped me build my credit fast. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. It's simple. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And you can start building credit immediately for only $1 in your first month. Want more proof? Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point credit increase in the first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. And with that in mind, number four is tackle, rally to the football, tackle, rally to the football, tackle, rally to the football, just over and over. Just put it in your heads. You have to rally to everything, and you have to be a really good tackling team in this game, taking good angles. This is the offense built around run after the catch. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, let the weapons do the heavy lifting. And you can only imagine that with Brandon Allen at quarterback, that's going to be what they are focusing on to try to get it out of his hands and to try to get it in the hands of the playmakers. And the playmakers they have, right? Like Debo Samuel is a run after the catch dude. George Kittle, run after the catch dude. Christian McCaffrey, run after the catch. Juwan Jennings, run after the catch. Kyle Juszczyk, run after the catch. They will own you with rack yards if you let them. So it is paramount that the Packers in this game tackle well, take good angles to the football, and everyone needs to rally to it because the 49ers are going to make you miss. They're going to run through tackles, and that next guy needs to be there to immediately get you down. Otherwise, it's going to be a long day, and it's going to be one of those frustrating games where like, hey, maybe Green Bay found a way to win at the end, but the 49ers put up way too much points or too many points, and you know weren't hoping for that, right? You're hoping for a better defensive performance. If they can't tackle, they can't rally to the football, it's probably going to be a rough defensive performance for Green Bay. Number five, attack our good old friend, Devondre Campbell. He's been the liability in the middle of the 49ers defense. I mean, this is not a hard one to IQ either, right? Because, or ID, I should say, IQ, ID. You're playing right next to Fred Warner. Fred Warner, very good. Devondre Campbell, not so much. So if you're going to have the opportunity to attack one of those guys, maybe stay away from the all-pro and go after the guy that's on the last legs of his career. And I do think you can attack him in the run game, play action, think you can throw at him. I think this could be a big Tucker Kraft day if he can get matchups there. But you got to stay away from Fred Warner. You got to attack Devondre Campbell. But I do think he is susceptible, and I do think he is somebody that you can look to and where he's lined up and how you can take advantage of him, sincerely. And I know he was going to go to San Fran, and it was going to be exactly what he's looking for. It has not been that way so far in San Francisco for Devondre Campbell, and fans are ready to move on from Devondre Campbell sooner rather than later in San Fran. Number six, limit the big plays. Now, I don't want to see a full bend but don't break defense against Brandon Allen. I don't need to see a billion paper cuts again. I don't need to see the Packers offense just standing on the sidelines because Green Bay can't get off the field. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not saying go full two high safeties and Joe Barry the hell out of this thing. But to an extent, you do want to make them go the length of the field and see if Brandon Allen, can actually get them to the promised land and make enough plays in order to do that. And if he can't, then you feel really good about that design. Now, I'm going to go into my next one right away because it's related. That's number seven. Keep Xavier McKinney as your primary deep safety in this one. I'm not saying you can't switch it up every once in a while, but he's kind of the guy I want deep. And that's because I want the corners being able to come up and play these wide receivers and tight ends, right? I want them to be able to come up and do that, but I want Xavier McKinney to be the guy that if somebody gets open deep or if they're going to take those chances deep, Xavier McKinney is going to be the one controlling the back end. And I know he had a poor tackle play on DeAndre Swift this past week. I still trust him back there as the last line of defense. Guarantee that's not going to happen again to McKinney. And if McCaffrey does get through that first line, that first wave, I want Xavier McKinney to be able to be there. So I would say Xavier McKinney, keep him in the post as that back safety for a great majority of this game. Number eight, be creative with Rashawn Gary. Now, I think number one, if Trent Williams for some reason cannot go, you want to get Rashawn Gary over on that side rushing against their backup offensive tackle as much as possible. If not, then Colton McKivitz looks probably like the better option for Rashawn. And then, or you could kind of move him around a little bit as we've seen on some third downs, you know, in games from Jeff Hafley. So I'd love to see a little bit more of a creative approach and get him in some one-on-ones that he can win rather than just trying to go up against Trent Williams the entirety of the game, which is probably not going to work for anyone. So be creative and be aware of who's out there. And if it's not Trent Williams, man, get Rashawn Gary in that spot and work over that backup offensive lineman. Number nine, special teams. I do think special teams can play a big role. Some old friends, Pat O'Donnell, the punter for San Francisco, Tabor Pepper is their long snapper. He's a former Packer. And then Jake Moody is their field goal kicker. I think Green Bay has the advantage here. I think the Packers have the better punter, the better kicker. You do need to be aware of Isaac Guerrero, the running back. He is a dangerous returner, but so can Keyshawn Nixon, right? So I think special teams advantage to me in this one is Green Bay. It's not by much, but the team with the better field position set up by their special teams. If there's any missed kicks, missed field goals or anything, it could play a major factor. So I do think special teams going to play a role in this game. And would it be the first time we've seen special teams have a big role at the end of a game against San Francisco, right? So we can't have a repeat of that. Green Bay is going to have to be much better on teams than they were on that particular day. Number 10, third and fourth down efficiency, something that Green Bay has not been doing a very good job with, specifically this past week against Chicago, both on offense or on defense. You can't just live on big plays. You've got to convert your third and fourth downs on offense. And defensively, you got to get off the field. Just have to. Even go back to third and 19 last week for Chicago, and they end up picking the play up on fourth down a couple plays later, right? So like Green Bay's got to find a way to be more efficient in that regard. And they got to get, in this case, the 49ers off the field. And if not, it's going to be a long day. And I don't care if it's Brandon Allen or not. You can't get off the field on third and fourth down. They're going to keep that drive going. They're going to put points on the board. And that's not what Green Bay wants. Green Bay wants their offense on the field, dominating time of possession, controlling the clock, and then, you know, really doing one of the other things. I'll skip to this one. It's really the most important one, the red zone offense. Both of these teams have been brutal in the red zone. I think both teams are going to be able to move the ball in this game. So this one, even though, again, it is backup QB and an offense that's going to be a little bit behind the eight ball with no Brock Purdy, whichever team can be better in the red zone, I think gets the job done. Because I think, again, both these teams are going to move the ball in some capacity. Both of them are very high-powered offenses. And we see, look at Green Bay with Malik Willis, right? Like, they found ways to be successful. I guarantee Kyle Shanahan's scheming things up for Brandon Allen. It's not the same type of quarterback. I get that. But guarantee you they're going to say, like, hey, Green Bay's won with Malik Willis. We'll win with Brandon Allen. They're going to be creative. They're going to try to come into Green Bay and pick up that win. And then last but not least, show you can play a complete game of football. This is one you have to win, right? This is not one that you can just let slip out of your fingertips. Give San Francisco life and really take a major hit against a 49ers team that's reeling and is completely banged up. Cannot lose this game. I don't think this is a trap game or anything like that. It's just, don't take it for granted. Play your best football and get out of there with a hopefully convincing victory over the 49ers. That's what I want. I want a convincing victory. And maybe it's like, maybe it ends up a little closer at the end by a garbage time touchdown or something like that. That I don't care about. I want to go into the fourth quarter feeling like Green Bay's got this relatively easily. Well, that's a 30-10 lead. And again, maybe they go on a 10-0 run in the fourth or something and, you know, make it semi-interesting. That's fine. They still dominated that game, right? So I want to see a complete game of football from Green Bay. Just again, starting to show us that there is progress, there is improvement, and just proof of concept that they can go out there and play a 60-minute game of football and show what they're capable of. That's what I really want to see in this game. My prediction, Packers 30, 49ers 20. I'm really still looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be a fun game. I do think the Packers pick up the W, and I'm excited to talk to you guys about it all week this week. And then, of course, we've got a Thursday Dolphins game as well, which is going to be a ton of fun. But right now, we're all locked in and focused on Packers 49ers. We don't need to look ahead. We take it one game at a time right here on Packaday, and we're going to be watching this 49ers game with great excitement and hopefully picking up that win for the Packers. Reminder, I'll be doing live pre and post game shows on Sunday. I'm going to be going live at 11 a.m. or either 10:30 or 11 a.m. Right now it's tentatively set for 10:30. Keep an eye on it. I may go 11. We'll see, but we're going to take that one step at a time based on a couple logistics things I've got going on. And then after the game, depending on when I can get home, we'll either be 8:30 or 9. So keep an eye on that as well. Right now I'm planning for 8:30 p.m. Central time. But if it takes me a little bit longer to get out of Lambeau and everything like that after the game, it may be closer to 9 o'clock. So I'll keep you posted on that as well. But right now, set for 8:30 p.m. Central time. All right, shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wonger, Nelda Espinosa, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Jason Merman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, and Dan Gesford. Enjoy the game day, everyone. I will see you tomorrow here to break it all down and, of course, in the pre- and post-game shows as well. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.